Okay, there we go, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan session for now Thursday, the 1st of May, isn't it? So what an incredible month we've just experienced for a whole variety of different reasons. Quite pleased to see the back of it, really, in many ways. Now, the whole idea of this session is for us to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. We had a bit of a significant... Not just reversal over the last couple of weeks, but specifically yesterday with some of the price actions, some of the market responses. We had a bit of a pivot over the course of yesterday afternoon and prices reversing very, very aggressively. Let's get into it. We'll explain a couple of the drivers behind these financial markets and we'll discuss what our plan is with a very, very interesting observation on the S&P 500. So let's have a quick look. We'll start, of course, with our risk warning. Take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning. And while we're talking about risk, these are the reasons why it's very important to make sure you've got a handle on risk management, because we know all too well that markets can go against your positioning or your bias in these markets. And putting a line in the sand at which point you no longer want to be in those trades is a really, really important feature. What it means is if the markets go against you, you don't experience a sizable loss. Dealing with conservative losses are absolutely fine, and we can work through those, and we can pick out a couple of decent trades to kind of offset some of those losses. But if you open up your account to a significant loss, it can be very, very difficult to pull yourself back. And, you know, you're talking about 30, 40, 50, 60% of your trading capital. If that is your approach, if you're going out on a limb in order to, it's kind of a boom and bust type trading strategy, these are some of the conditions which you would experience some, extreme volatility, whether you're buyers or sellers. So you saw the pivot probably yesterday. We'll have a look at it now in just a moment in the charts. You probably saw the pivot yesterday where a lot of negative news drove prices lower. So a lot of sellers jumped in and then it pivoted at the lows. And we had a mildly positive development when it comes to inflation, which is more of a mathematical problem than it is a real problem. because you'll see what will happen to inflation now over the coming weeks and months. But there was this mathematical formula based on increasing imports into the US. And, you know, these pivots can occur. And making sure you have that line in the sand to make sure that, you know, if prices go above these levels, you want to get out of those trades is quite an important feature. Okay, so all profitable traders need to consider which markets to trade, where do we then enter and exit these markets, how do we manage risk. Trade management, it's been a strange week from that perspective, because we've tried a couple of the same trades on a couple of occasions. Without the ability, we were able to manage our crude oil trade. A few of the other trades, not so straightforward with the pivots that we've seen this week. And trade psychology. So what sort of mindset? Well, what we can do from yesterday is put yesterday behind us and focus exclusively on the market conditions that are driving prices now. And we'll look for that next, just look for that next profitable trade. And if we get the conditions, we'll take the trade. And if we don't get the conditions, we won't take the trade. So we're not going to be chasing any losses from yesterday. That's not the intention. We want to keep our feet on the ground at all times, whether we're in a series of winning trades, whether we're in a series of losing trades. It, you know, the principle remains the same at all times. All right, so look, we adjust these considerations every day in our live trading, of course, and we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, no matter what's happening, really. Accurate with the levels we use wherever possible, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient. So let's start with just a quick look at this news event. So today is a bank holiday across many, many parts. It's May Day, May the 1st. And yesterday was the last day of the trading month. And what we speak about generally on the last day of trading months is this reconciliation aspect to these markets, where financial institutions end up there's a bit of volatility around closing out that month's activity. And I'm going to share a very, very specific price with you in just a moment. And it's just really interesting to see how these markets, who's driving them, the actual volatility in these markets, the fact that there's fewer participants driving these prices higher is another interesting aspect, despite the backdrop. So yesterday was quite an eventful day. We've got an uptick in Australian inflation. We had Chinese manufacturing PMI numbers coming in below 50. So contraction there. German prelim inflation numbers looked like it come in significantly higher. And then for all the bad news. So ADP, non-farm, these are your private sector jobs, you know, coming in much, much lower. So actually adding on to JOLTS job numbers, actually more and more weakness coming through the jobs market. And this is ADP, so this is non-farm payrolls' little brother, basically. So, yeah, this is an early sign that perhaps there's weakness coming, filtering through. Perhaps a lot of these companies now, with all the uncertainty, are trying to cut costs a little bit. And one of the most significant ways in which you can do that is by reducing down your headcount. So we've seen a few headlines around that, which is not particularly positive. Advanced GDP. Quarter on quarter, this is what really shocked the markets to a large degree, coming in significantly lower, actually in now negative territory. And this is the first part of a recession. You need two back-to-back quarters of negative growth to be in a recession. And we've actually got one of those now. So the second and third quarter in 2022, when you bear in mind the market financials and the fact that the Fed started to cut rates and taper off its quantitative easing programs, we saw a bit of a negative GDP number begin to filter out. So this is the first quarter. So are we heading into recession? It certainly looks that will be the case. And then you look at things like advanced GDP price index numbers, which are much, much higher than previous, higher than expected. Employment costs are pretty these are quarter on quarter numbers. Not quite, we're a little bit off the highs, but certainly we're at the highest costs, really going back to the financial crisis. We're at that kind of level. So those employment costs are really quite high. And this is when the pivot started to kick in, where you can see, you know, pending home sales, significant increase there, but these are month-to-month figures, personal income going up, personal spending going up. And there is this dynamic really around this pull forward narrative. And we've been speaking about it for the last few days. And one of the biggest impacts in GDP, finding this out yesterday to a large degree, and the reason for this weakness is around the import, increasing imports. So when you purchase significant volumes of imported goods and services, it has this negative, it pulls down GDP. And as we know, because of this line in the sand, you know, Liberation Day, we know prices were beginning to go up on all imports into the US across the board, got this 10% tariff, even though we had this reciprocal nonsense to deal with. And so as a result, we've seen significantly weaker GDP numbers. But here's the interesting dynamic to all of this. Core PCE price index numbers came in flat at 0%. Previously positive 0.5, which was on the higher side. And within 1 month, that has completely crashed. So I'm sure Donald Trump, as we know, he kind of blamed Biden for the GDP number and would probably take credit for the core PCE number. So that's kind of the backdrop. So markets took a bit of a significant pivot in the end, driven by, well, there's probably three things. Significantly decreasing core PCE. There's four things. Lowering rates. If we look at the 10-year is now back to 1.4. So that decrease has accelerated. It's enabled these equity markets to continue to rally. But the more important aspect, and if we look at a 2-year treasury note as well, we're now down at 3.61. So all of these numbers are really quite interesting. We're not quite breaking these lows just yet, but we're not a million miles away. Sorry, bear with me there, guys. Apologies. Yeah. Sorry, I just got disconnected there briefly. Yeah, so you can see the lower highs, and you know, there's a period there where panic was low, really, from a treasury perspective. But actually, the 2-year remained remarkably resilient. And we're now down to these very important and significant lows. So 3.61. That's where we're at the 2-year. So this is really supportive of equity prices. A bit of the alarmist nature of this little period in here, this massive spike, is actually beginning to unwind again. So it's really, really interesting. I mean, what an incredibly volatile month. I'll go on to the charts now in just a second, but this volatility has played out very, very aggressively in the US bond markets. But we are seeing this lowering of real interest rates with these treasury notes. And what that means is the Fed are more likely to track something like the 2-year, which is currently at, did I say it was 3.61, wasn't it? So this 2-year level, 3.61. It means the Fed have a little bit of room. So currently the Fed are at 4.5. So there is basically 90 basis points of cuts if the Fed, which they end up tracking the 2-year, certainly if we break that 360 level, we're probably on for the Fed beginning to follow suit. So watching the CME, Fed Watch tool is going to be quite interesting to see if the likelihood of rate cuts start to filter through. We've also got this is US exceptionalism at its best, really. If we just look at something like corporate earnings for yesterday, record corporate earnings for Apple So it's yesterday we want to have a look at, isn't it? So if you look at these levels in here, Microsoft and Meta, record levels of revenue, which is really quite interesting if you consider the backdrop and actually projecting out, you know, there's elements of resilience in there and a really positive backdrop again. And most analysis was really projecting a positive Q1, and it's that pre-tariff, you know, period of time where, you know, would we get a decent bounce in these equity markets? And the answer is categorically yes. Another day yesterday. So if you Sorry, guys, we got that, got slightly disconnected there. I'm sorry about that, guys. Apologies. Oh, that's so frustrating. Okay, so look, just referencing record levels of revenue for companies like Microsoft. So it's lending itself. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it. It's lending itself to supporting these equity markets. So does that mean we want to sort of pile in and start buying? Let's have a look at the S&P 500, a massive round trip. I'm sure you'd probably agree. Now, look at this little candlestick in here. It's a relatively insignificant candlestick, but what it references is the 1st of April. And obviously we're the 1st of May today. So look at the open price on the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. If you can see it, I'll read it out to you. The open price for the 1st of April is 56.01. That was the open price for the S&P 500. Now have a look at the close price of last night's trading. Have a look at the high price of yesterday's trading. Comes in exactly at 56.01. So we've done nothing but have a massive round trip and this V-shape recovery, you know, completely dominate the landscape. So we always talk about US resilience and, you know, you should never really back against the US, but we've got some unbelievably challenging market conditions with Donald Trump and everything he represents and his policies that he's pursuing. It can only really be a bit of a problem for the American economy, the global economy, growth, unemployment, inflation. They're all likely to react very, very significantly. But what we've experienced, especially in the last couple of weeks, is a postponement of any of that real major structural issues. And what we've seen again is actually how resilient the US economy is beneath all of this nonsense from Donald Trump. And that's really quite important to just be mindful of that. So we've got a lot of resistance above, and to just let you know where we're at, we fully expect a lot of this data to turn quite negative for these markets at some point. And it's something we've been discussing a few times. You may have seen, you know, the arrows that if this market does, I mean, the price action has been quite choppy in its own right in the last week. A lot of new highs and new lows and false breakouts and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a difficult few days, that's for sure. And we're up at these significant highs with is seemingly further upside expected. But we're going to continue to look for those opportunities to sell these markets. And we clearly need to look for additional opportunities, both from a fundamental or narrative-driven perspective. If we have that narrative that's likely to lend or lean into weakness, followed by a decent technical setup, then those are the two things that we'll be looking to see if we can capitalize on once more. Elsewhere, we've had a pretty significant move now from the dollar. So short term, we've got these little structural failure trades. We were certainly sitting on the dollar weakness side of these markets. Now these markets are clearly beginning to turn more positive for the dollar. And when we're talking about dollar weakness and indices lower, we're looking to let those winners run when it comes to buying the dollar and potentially buying the indice markets, which is a kind of a counterintuitive position to begin with, but let's not focus too much on that. Then we'll have really sort of confined targets to aim for. So a clearly defined pullback for markets like the pound dollar, euro dollar. And this is probably the most interesting trade is the BOJ have really been quite dovish. There was an expectation that the BOJ wouldn't undo some of the damage that's been enforced. And things are just too volatile, it seems, right now for the BOJ to make a move. So they decided to adopt a little bit more of a weaker stance. So you can see the downward nature of this market, a bit of a strong pullback. Now, a lot of these markets are likely to present us with some interesting opportunities at some point. And we've got this kind of short-term view, which could absolutely be around dollar strength versus a slightly medium-term view, which would be leaning back into indice weakness and dollar weakness. So we've kind of got a short-term and a more medium-term view. Okay, so that can be, and again, we're getting a bit of a very significant strong bounce or weakness in the yen, should we say. So look, we took profit on this trade yesterday at these lower levels. We've continued to make new lows. That drill baby drill comment from Donald Trump a couple of nights ago only reinforces further downside. So we can have a look at crude oil below the 57.63. Let's have a look at that. Yeah, so that dollar strength trade is having an impact now on gold, along with the S&P looking strong. The NASDAQ, again, we had these new lows being created yesterday, and then the pivot started to kick in, and then the volatility. It's not a bad look how low the actual volatility is in this market. Really, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. And that's driven by institutional money, in our opinion. So you've got this retailer sort of like us, a little bit perplexed, and you've got institutional money continue to just front run and drive prices higher. Now, will they drive prices higher in order to exit their positions? That's obviously a bit of a strategy. Or are they genuinely enthusiastic about these US markets with the backdrop? We'd find it hard to sort of correlate with that particular view. And we all have views, and they need to put money where their mouth is to support those views. And we'll see if they will or not. So again, look, these structural failure trades are kicking in. The Nikkei as well is, all these markets are looking far more positive and constructive than what we would have expected. But these are the financial markets, of course, and all we've been on is a massive, massive round trip. So where do we go from here? So let's put up our trade plan then. It's quite convoluted. It's not particularly straightforward by any stretch. We've still got this mixed market backdrop, which we can't seem to move away from. And what's important as well, when you trade, I mean, I know we talk about risk all the time, but making sure that you have control over your exposure in these markets is really, really important. So we've gone from kind of nervously bullish markets to actually resilient and volatile and sort of aggressively bullish markets. So what's the best phrasing? We've still got this mixed dynamic playing out. There's probably a better word. So now we've got these aggressively bullish market conditions due to consumer price index numbers. Personal consumption expenditure. There's still a lot of people think that Donald Trump isn't actually going to follow through aggressively with these tariffs. He said two nights ago that he will. A lot believe he won't. And then he makes decisions around like auto tariffs, for example. So making concessions there. And then he may make concessions, you know, everywhere that there seems to be a bit of a problem. Which means you might have this unwinding of these tariff narrative, which again would be quite bullish for these markets. Due to lowering US bond yields, Trump tariff U-turn, lower core PCE, positive corporate earnings. Okay, so look, that's kind of, you know, they're the narratives really that you point to from a in terms of the why these markets are driving higher. So dollar weakness post current pullback, which we didn't really get at any point this week. We've only seemed to get dollar strength. Let's put short term if we get the right type of setup. We didn't get that. We were in a downtrend. We were looking for these prices to continue to weaken, which they did for a little bit yesterday. And then crude oil is actually much, much lower. We just took profits, didn't we, above these particular levels. So, yeah, it's 57.63. Okay, so those are the new lows for crude oil. See, the weakness in gold is below the 32.55. We're considerably below that now. If we get a bit of a pullback, okay, right. So, yeah, we'll the crude oil narrative is really around drill, baby, drill, and just the increasing of supply of crude oil is likely to to push these prices lower. We also had crude oil inventories, so you've got this backdrop of a negative 2.7 million barrels coming in. I think it's probably fair to say that the drill, baby, drill is far more significant for oil prices than this inventory number of 2.7 million. So really, I suppose a lot to consider. We've got a few things to analyze now as we approach the over the course of the day. It is a bank holiday in many parts of certainly Europe, so we can probably expect a little bit more of a quieter day perhaps than probably what we've had over the last few days. I know we've had the BOJ press conference. I think it's probably concluding now, but that's broadly dovish for the yen. It's dovish for the central bank in terms of their ability to increase rates. So they're wanting to keep these rates lower, probably for longer while this uncertainty exists. And then that's bad news for the yen. Today, unemployment claims and then ISM manufacturing numbers. Again, so many of these data points are potentially weaker. If the unemployment claims come in 240 plus, that would be an interesting development with JOLTS job numbers coming down, yesterday's ADP numbers coming down. If we get an increase in unemployment claims, that would lean into potentially more of a negative report tomorrow. And this is the big one tomorrow. Okay, it's going to be interesting to see these manufacturing prices, which are... So we really have lower growth and potentially spikes in inflation, except for core PCE, which seems to be the outlier for a very specific mathematical reason. And what that leaves us with is a stagflating US economy. And it's a word that we're not really hearing too much about. But when you have lower growth and increasing inflation, which is, again, what we're likely to see, that's a very, very bad position for these equity markets. And we're continuing to see these rallies. So we kind of want to trade with all of this in mind. Okay, so we'll post that into the chat box there, guys. The narratives are, you could probably lean a little bit more into, it's hard to say we've got positive economic data because we really don't. It's more to do with perhaps positivity out of Mag7, bit of a rally yesterday as well as feeding into that positivity. Which is giving us indices higher. But certainly these markets need to sort of calm down a little bit and hopefully start moving a little bit more in line with expectations. Right, okay, so listen, on that note, guys, let's post this into the chat box and we'll switch rooms straight away. So if you can join us for the European trading session, please do so. We'll hopefully have some interesting moves. But we'll keep our options open. And again, that at the bottom of the today's trade plan, we want to keep all options open due to broad market uncertainty around Trump tariffs, Fed cuts. And so we need to see an awful lot more clarity as we go. Right, I just posted that there into the chat box, guys. Listen, thanks very much for joining us. We'll let you go and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone. Take care of yourselves. Bye for now.